Hi, this is Harold. Welcome to Transformation's weekly message and podcast. I'm glad you are making time for this week's teaching. I will have more to say at the end of today's message, but for now, let's see what God wants to teach us. May God bless your hearing, understanding, and application of God's word and message. Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Great to be here. We are almost unpacked and back to civilization, you know. And thanks to John, who's been at our house. He's pretty much camped out there for the last 3 weeks putting us together, you know, certain things. And Rob come over and helped us a little bit. I'm grateful to both them and their teams. And Susie's been working tirelessly. And she was holding that back again last night. I had to get on her to put them boxes down. But we're getting there. We're just a lot of ibuprofen and Tylenol and going to bed early, you know. But it's a job, man. It is definitely a job, but we're getting back to reality because we've got, you know, things unpacked and starting to get back to some normalcy, even with stuff we're doing here. So I'm excited about that, just to get settled in. I think we got a football game today. Am I right? We got a football game. Who are we rooting for? The Chiefs. It's going to be a good game and a lot of fun. Always a lot of excitement. The most watched event on TV, period, every year. Super Bowl. I mean, it's just a phenomenon in the world. So a lot of people, and if you remember last year, there's a great ministry out there that you're going to see some of those videos again this year about Jesus. So the black and yellow writing, you know, he gives, he says, he this. You'll see some of that again this year. So be looking for them because they come at you with a little Super Bowl twist. You start out like, what is that? And all of a sudden, it's a message about Jesus. Yeah, so you'll see some of those in today's game. So be looking for those. And most of the, I think it's usually 4 o'clock is when the commercials start airing. So the game doesn't start till 5:30. But something to be thinking about today. I know Mike's out with the flu. We got some other people out with the flu. Flu's going around, beating people up pretty good. I had it a few weeks ago. So if you haven't had it, I hope you don't get it. But if you have had it, I'm glad you're still over it and here with us today. Over the past few weeks, we've explored what it means to be faithful stewards, right, of our bodies, our minds, and our spirits. And we're this first third of the year, we're really talking about the body. And there's just so much to talk about. You wouldn't think so in any one of those three topics, body, mind, spirit. How much can you really say about the body, the mind, spirit? But you'd be amazed enough that we could go all year with it. And the goal at the end of this, is our time together, is that we have a better resolve, but a better understanding of what it means to live a Jesus-centered life when it comes to our bodies, our mind, and our spirit. And what does that look like? So we're going to spend a lot of time. Next week's Testimony Sunday, and we have Mary Daniels coming, and Mary's awesome. You're going to love Mary. She goes to Salem United Methodist. And she'll probably be joining our team eventually as well, especially once we get to Eureka. So, but she's excited to come. I know her husband's coming, her son's coming. But she's just a great soul, and you're going to love her message and what she has to share, her testimony. So look forward to meeting Mary next week. She's involved in children's ministry over there. So she'll be a breath of fresh air, and we'll alternate that male-female, you know, as we go through the year on testimony. So it'll be a good mix of all that. I can report to you that we'll be in the new location. If any of you old rockers out there remember the band called Mama's Pride, anybody remember that band from back in the day? Rich just got his hands up. He's probably got a CD of them or an old 45, you know, back in the day, probably not a CD. But Danny Liston, Pat Liston, are brothers that were part of that band. Danny's a friend of mine. Danny's going to come on Testimony Sunday in July. And not only will he come, he'll also perform. He's phenomenal. He's got a lot of Christian music. He's a phenomenal artist. But he'll be coming in July to share his testimony for us, but also perform that day. And we'll see what that looks like. We may even incorporate the praise band into some of that music when we get to that point. Seriously. And he may even bring a few guest musicians himself. Who knows? That'll be in a whole different context, but it'll be a lot of fun. He's super pumped about it to come and do that. So we're going to have a lot of cool people like that. People you wouldn't even think here are going to be in our presence hanging out with us. So we're going to do a lot of fun stuff as we move forward. But be ready for that. But again, we've been talking about the body, the mind, and the soul, but in the spirit, but mainly focused on the bodies. And we started recognizing we are made in God's image. So this is how we started the message, that we are in God's image. We were talking about this with the kids this morning, that you are made uniquely, you're made for a purpose, you need to discover what that is. Mark Twain said it best. There's two important dates in your life. One, the day you were born, and the second is when you discover why you were born, and what is your purpose. So we spent some time talking about that this morning with the kids, that what that means. And so Genesis chapter 1, verses 27 through 28 really bring that out. And then we acknowledge that our bodies are the temples of the Holy Spirit. That's what we spent week 2, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 19 through 20. So not only are we created in the image of God, but now our body, it's for a reason. It's not just for our own self-interest and for living selfishly. It's for a purpose. It's so the Holy Spirit can dwell within us. We're not the channel. The Holy Spirit is the channel, but we are the mechanism. We are the vice. We are the chassis, if you would, for how that works. And last week we reflected on how we can eat can be an act of worship, you know, eating. So today, when you're stuffing your face with whatever it is you're going to stuff your face with at the Super Bowl party, remember this is an act of worship. So do it in a worship style. You know, don't be a pig. Don't be disgusting. You know, have fun with it. But no, seriously, when we do eat, and you should be mindful of that. And if you haven't done that, it's hard to make that shift when you just eat selfishly, just go about just doing whatever it is you do. But when you start thinking of it as an act of worship, it takes on a whole different level of accountability and responsibility. So 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 31 is where we were at last week with that. But today we're going to shift our focus on something just as important, but often is neglected, something I'm convicted of all the time. I know Rich is, John is, some of us here, and that's rest, and John as well, as many of you. We just go 100 miles per hour. And seriously, and I wake up every day at 4 or 5 o'clock. And I get up and go. And usually by about 8:39, I'm done. You know, I'm burnt out for the day, and I fall asleep in the chair. Or I got a sleep monkey chair. I don't know if you got a sleep monkey chair, but I guarantee you, whoever you are, if you sit in a sleep monkey chair for any length of time, little monkeys will climb up on your shoulders and they'll push your eyelids down, and that's how you're asleep. So that's called a sleep monkey chair. But that's something that I struggle with, and God commands us to embrace Sabbath. Yet, we frequently resist it. We resist to slow down. And so it's something we all fight internally. But there's a really a message there. In Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 11, God commands his people to observe the Sabbath. And it quotes, "Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God," end quote. So if you're going to, you know, rate yourself on that biblical principle, Old Testament commandment, how would you grade yourself? And when you do have a day of rest, is it about the Lord? Is it about you just getting some extra sleep? You just chilling out? You just binging Netflix? What is it about? Or are you really conscious of the fact that, you know, when I take time to rest, it's about trying to honor God and what we're doing? And I think that's important. In biblical times, the Sabbath was a sign of a covenant to Israel. You know, so God made the creation in 6 days. He rested on the seventh. But also, it's about this covenant with Israel. You got to rest. It's important. It's a day set apart for worship and renewal. You know, and spiritually speaking, it reminded the people that their provision came from God. Everything you have comes from God. We spoke about that a lot in confirmation class today. Everything you have comes from God. May we never lose sight of that. At all. And it's not, it's provision. It came from God. It's not by your labor that you have what it is you have in your life. You have to participate. It's the old saying, God will move mountains for you, but he's going to ask you to bring a shovel, right? It's God that ultimately moves the mountain, but you have to show up with a shovel. You have to show up with your bucket. And you look at the mountain and you go, there's no way this is ever going to get done. And one day you look up and it's gone. And it's just how the mystery of faith works, and it's powerful. But we have to know that provision comes from God. It's not merely a break from our work, but it's an act of faith. It's not like, hey, I just need to rest. I just need to let my bones settle down. I need to get some energy. I need to get a recoup. It's more than that. It's an act of faith when we do that. It's trusting that God will sustain them even when they stop working. So you've seen this exchange happen a lot in Old Testament times, especially with farmers. They would let their ground rest on the seventh year. They wouldn't plant anything, trusting that God would provide enough those other 6 years, if they were disciplined and saved their money, saved their grain, saved their resources, that they would have enough to sustain themselves, to trust it, that even the soil needs that. Now, you don't see this really practiced, at least in America, but what you do see practice is the alternation of crops. To give the ground a break. We're going to plant corn one time, and then we'll plant beans the next year. To give the soil a break, because it takes different nutrients, but also it has a toll on the ground, if you would, on different things. So it's important. In Matthew 11, 28 through 30, Jesus invites us to rest in Him, right? And to show that our true renewal comes from Him. Our rest comes from the Lord, putting our life and trust in Him. And God commanded the Sabbath under the old covenant, but Jesus reveals that rest comes from Him. So resting in the Lord, resting in God's principles, His understanding, and His purpose for our life. And the Sabbath offers more than a break from work, but it provides an opportunity to embrace God's peace and renewal in every aspect of our life. It takes a lot of faith to buy into that. I mean, if I spend time putting on the full armor of God, I spend time in God's Word, I pray, I meditate, and I go out and serve God's kids, I serve a life of love and service. I'm going to go out into the world, wherever that's at, and I'm going to carve out this time, or I'm going to do mentorship, or I'm going to do whatever. I'm going to go over and serve at the food pantry. I'm going to serve at the nursing home. I'm going to give up my time to go do this, that there's going to be enough time to get everything else done. And it's buying into that. And it takes a tremendous amount of active faith, because it's like, yeah, I need to start doing more of that. You hear this all the time. I need to start doing more, but I'm just so busy. And God's going to push you on that. God's going to say, look, I know you're busy. I know you have a lot of responsibility. I know you have a lot on your plate, but trust me on this. Put your faith and trust in me and carve out a part of your time for me so I can work through you. And I promise you that all this other stuff will take care of itself. It takes a tremendous amount of faith to buy into that. But that's what God's asking us to buy in, and that's what Jesus is asking us to buy into big time. After we speak of these things that take discipline, think about the Kansas City Chiefs, right? How about those Chiefs? But you don't get to where they're at by just luck. Or referees, as some people would think. A lot of people think it's the referees that got in there. But it's a lot. And here we are on Super Bowl Sunday, and once again, our Chiefs face the Eagles. And, you know, and I'm pretty sure that Patrick Mahomes has a Sabbath when it comes to football, right? That you have to chill out. That in some kind of way, in order to excel and do what he does, it requires a certain amount of rest and a certain amount of discipline and a certain amount of renewal to do what it is that he does. Or any of those athletes, not just him, but all of them. Now, if we can only get some of that discipline in our own lives, to live that discipline of a life, to get the results that we need. You don't get that by going to the Waffle House three times a day and then going and showing up on the football field, right? You got to hit the gym, you got to sleep, you got to rest. You hear them all the time. Hey, you got to buy this week. Why? So we can heal, so we can rest up, so we can get back renewed, restored. So that's an important thing. So we're going to talk about three things today. And the first one is rest is an act of trust in God. So taking this time away from my busyness doesn't mean you're not doing other things to serve the Lord. It's not about just sitting in the sleep monkey chair. But it's just like I'm going to step away from the business of life and I'm going to rest in what the Lord would have me do. Whether that is taking a nap, whether that is resting, whether that's just sitting in God's Word. You know, I'm just going to go to church today and maybe go have some lunch afterwards. And go home and not, hey, I'm going to go do all these projects this afternoon. I'm going to get out the lawnmower. You know, it's really just taking it seriously. So scripture foundation, again, is Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 11. And the scripture says, and I quote, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, end quote. So you can get lost in the legalism. Is it Saturday, as the old Jewish culture would say? Is it Sunday? What day is the day of rest? Well, I don't think you need to get lost in that. The point is that you need to rest. And not just rest physically, you need to chill out, but you also need to rest in the Lord. So observing the Sabbath, I think, requires us to trust that God provides, even when we pause from our work. That I got all this stuff to do. Stop. Trust the process. In a world that values productivity and constant effort, stepping away from our labor, it feels counterintuitive a lot of times to step away from. You know what I'm saying? So I got all this stuff to do. I got all these demands. All these people are calling. Everybody wants everything yesterday. What do you do with that? Pause. And don't be afraid to stand up for your faith. I love you. I want your business. But today is a day of rest. And I'm going to chill out and I'm going to rest. And I'll see you on Monday or whatever. But I got to take a break from what's going on. Or you burn out. And the Sabbath calls us to surrender our need for control and acknowledge and our security. Again, our security doesn't come from our own provision, from our own efforts. It comes from God. Yes, I have to go work. I have to earn a living. I have to do certain things and be responsible at the end of the day. But still, God is, this is a clear command all through Scripture. You need to chill out and make me a priority in your life. Not just for 5 minutes in the morning when you're reading Jesus Calling, and not just now you lay me down to sleep. I'm talking about throughout the day and throughout your life. You need to take me more seriously, realizing what you have going on in your life is from me, not from your own efforts. And there's a lot of people that are out there living on self-propulsion, thinking it's them that presides everything. It kind of reminds you of the old joke when the scientists all came to God one day and they said, "Hey, God, we figured out how to clone human beings. We don't need you anymore." He says, "That's right." He goes, "That's right." He goes, "We don't need you anymore. We figured it out." He goes, "Okay, great. Show me how you do it." And they reach down and get some dirt, and God says, "Whoa, whoa, get your own dirt." Right? Get your own dirt, because you ain't using my dirt since you got it all figured out. And that, and it's that kind of delusional thinking that we have to stay away from. When we do rest, we declare that our provision ultimately depends on God's, not our efforts. And just as God provided manna from heaven, right, to Israel in the wilderness, ensuring that they would have enough even when they refrained from gathering and accepting. And they cried. You remember they cried all the time. "We don't have nothing to eat." And they wake up and there'd be white stuff all over the ground. At first they thought it was snow or frost, but it was manna from heaven. Then they're like, "Well, we want some meat. We don't just want bread." And then what happens? He gives them all this quail. And it's like, if you do the measurements on the cubic measurements on the quail, it was like 3 feet deep of quail on the ground. I mean, it's like quail everywhere. It's like, "You want meat? I'll give you meat. You're going to have so much meat, you're going to wish you never even asked for meat." And that's the kind of thing God always provides, but he hates whining. And boy, there's nothing that God, he hears our cries. It's desperate. There's a plea for desperation, but there's also whining. You just whine. You know, and I think God, you know, "Would you like some cheese with that wine?" Maybe that's where God, maybe that's where that originally comes from. But the Sabbath is not about neglecting responsibility. Again, it's about embracing divine dependence, freeing us from anxiety of freaking out how's this all going to get done, and reminding us that God's care is sufficient for all of our needs. It will get done. It will take care of itself. Trust the process. Just trust the process. And it sounds philosophically, it sounds easy, hard to do. When you're self-driven, you're an entrepreneur, you're living on self-propulsion, you're trying to make things happen in the world. Again, a farmer lets the land, back in the Jewish times, biblical times, the Sabbath year, the land rest, trusting that God would provide for it. You know, trusting that process. And likewise, we need to trust that taking time for rest will not hinder our outcome. It will not hinder our results or our provision or our effectiveness. It's only going to make us better, just like it would with the cheese. So what is the application? Well, number one, prioritize Sabbath as a time of spiritual renewal. It's not about taking a nap. "I'm going to sleep in today." You know, remember the days when you were a teenager, you sleep to like 10 or noon? I couldn't do that if you paid me to do that. I couldn't. I would lose my mind. You know, at 4 o'clock, I'm ready to go. It's like, "You're going to sleep here till 10. Is Lynette sleep till 10? What? Do you sleep till 2? Well, but you live with Dale, so you don't need to even explain that. We understand why you would live that. We get that. We totally get it. You do resemble that. And the other part is to release control and trust God that God will sustain us. So chill out. Rich, take a break. All right? Take a break. When's the last time you really took a break? I mean, put the cameras on. Because he's got a lot going on. He's the head screw, right? When you're the head screw, you got stuff to do, you know, and people are calling, and the texts are coming in, the emails are coming. But when do you just say, "Hey, man, today is the day the Lord made. I'm chilling out. Tomorrow's another day." It's hard to do that, especially if you've been in a rhythm and doing it another way. Oscar Wilde, great, great, great human being, great contributor to the world, said this, and I quote, "To do nothing at all is the most difficult thing in the world, the most difficult and the most intellectual," end quote. Oscar Wilde. It's to do nothing. It's just, you would think some people got that mastery of doing nothing. You know, especially in today's culture. Ask John when he's trying to hire help. Or Rich, you know, trying to get good help. You can't get good help no more. I hear that all the time. Even the restaurant's got signs that says, "Hey, sorry, if the service is slow, we can't get good help anymore." It's some people would push back, but I love that quote. Next point, Jesus offers us rest for the weary. And this is really, really what must settle in. That Matthew 11, 28 through 30 says, and I quote, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest," end quote. And it's not just physically, but it's emotionally, mentally. You know, when you go through seasons of life, you just get tired. You get wore out. And it's challenging. Jesus calls us to live a balance and renewal with him. Yes, you got to go out, but you need to be serious about your spiritual development and your spiritual growth. Right? It's not a constant striving to do either or. Our culture glorifies business and measures work by productivity. It does. I mean, we live in a culture that breeds that. You're measured by that. And you can get lost in that delusion. And need, not only do you need affirmed in it, but you demand it. You always have to have those accolades. You always got to be affirmed. Hey, you're doing a great job. Hey, you're doing this. Hey, you're doing that. Hey, you achieved that. And it can drive you, but it also burn you completely into the ground at the same time. Because you just eventually wear out. And if your whole life centers on that, the day's going to come when your batteries run out. As age and illness take on, eventually you're going to run out. And what are you going to do when you can't go anymore? And you've never had the practice or the spiritual discipline of putting your trust and faith in God. What are you going to do? You're like a cordless drill. As long as you're on a charger. Wee, 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 wee. Right? But one day, and maybe some of you feel this way already, it starts to sound like, right? Then one day you click it, and it's just, there's no more gas in the tank. And you can't do what it is you used to do. And for a lot of people, they just close their eyes and go to heaven. But that's not what God calls us to do. And so we got to trust that process. But our culture definitely glorifies that kind of life. And Jesus offers a different way. One that's rooted in rest, trust, and spiritual renewal. That we're challenged to do all three of those. He does not demand an endless toil in any one area of our life. Instead, he invites us to abide in him where we find strength and we find purpose. And we find that there's enough time to do everything. I hear people say this all the time, especially in mentorship circles. Man, how do you do all the stuff you do? How do you find time for that? Hey, I get 168 hours in a week just like you do. So it's all about how you use your time. And I remember having a boss, because I made that stupid mistake when I was a young entrepreneur, young worker, and my boss said, you know what, I guarantee you, I come to your office and I can spend 30 minutes with you and show you how you waste hours of time every day. I said, well, I don't need you to do that. I don't need you to do that. But I did, but I did those inventories, and what I discovered was what I call time vampires. Things that just, that blow up. You want to know the biggest vampire? I don't have mine sitting here, but it's your phone. It's a time vampire. And if you've got a smartphone, I guarantee you're guilty of it. And if you Google, if you want to have some fun on the way home, just go, hey Siri, or hey Google, how many hours a day do most people spend on their phone? And you're not going to like the answer. It's very humbling. How many times you're doing this? Now you add that up, the minutes, into hours, into weeks, into days, into months, and the next thing you know, you're like, holy smokes. This thing owns the title to my soul. But you want to know a time vampire? That's it. That's it. Streaming TV, if you're a Netflix binger. I don't have this, but I know a lot of people do. They sit down and they just watch a whole season of something, like for a weekend. I would lose my mind if I had to watch TV that much. But I'll watch TV, but not. I just can't. I don't fall into that. I don't have that ism, but some people do. But it's a time vampire. It can just erode and just eat up your life. And we're called not to get caught in that. When Jesus says, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, I will give you rest," he reminds us that real fulfillment does not come from relentless effort, but a deep connection with God. So it's like, you know, I'm just going to take time to pray. I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to read a new Christian writing from this person. I'm going to go check out this blog. I'm going to listen to some video, or I'm going to listen to some preaching online. I mean, with your apps, I mean, you can listen to anybody. There's nothing you can't get there's nothing. You can listen to the greatest preachers in the world, greatest teachers in the world, greatest theologians right here at your fingertips. While you're driving in the car, it's a great time. You're driving from point A to point B. I mean, lots of ways we can do to abide in him. Music's a big one for me. Music was beautiful this morning, but I love music, and music can lift my soul big time. So striving without rest leads to exhaustion, not just physical, but spiritual. But abiding in Christ brings both balance, clarity, and renewal. You know, we need renewed. Throughout his ministry, Jesus modeled this balance. He healed, he taught, and he served. Yet he withdrew to pray. If you notice how many times Jesus says, I'm going to go away to pray by myself, to be with God. He did it all the time. And Jesus said, in his own words, what you do in private is a real measure of where you're at spiritually. What you're doing when nobody else is looking is what you're about. It's easy to pray at church. It's easy to pray at Bible study or before a meal. But what are you doing when nobody else is looking? What are you reading? What are you watching? What are you doing? And this is where Jesus demonstrated he is always alone with God. You know, some people would call it your secret place. What is your secret place? There's a book called The Secret Place. Great book. But where is that space in our life? So when we prioritize time with Jesus, we experience his peace, we gain strength for our calling, and we live in a rhythm, and I love the word rhythm, that aligns with his grace rather than the world's demand. So people say all the time, well, how do you get balance? I don't know if there's such thing as balance, personally, because there's too many things, variables that come at you. But there is a rhythm, and the band's a great example of that. They're up here, they got a rhythm going. If somebody's out of rhythm, it throws everything off, right? So I like the word rhythm and versus balance. So how do we apply it? You exchange stress and anxiety for Christ's peace. I need peace. I need another word. It's serenity. You know, I need serenity. And in recovery circles, you have the serenity prayer, which is a big prayer, which means peace. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, which are many. The courage to change the things I can, which are many. And the wisdom to know the difference. You know, so I don't burn myself out, wear myself out trying to do something that I'm not qualified or even in a position to do. And we recognize that rest is not laziness. Just because you're going to take off your boots and chill out doesn't mean you're lazy. For a lot of people, you might think so. You might feel guilty even. I got stuff to be doing. Well, you know, I can't just sit at home. I got stuff to be doing. I got all these people. I got all these clients that want stuff from me. You feel like you're a bandit, you're evil, and you can really get stuck in that stigma. Taking off your shoes and chilling out's a good thing. Even the best athletes must rest to perform at their highest level. Again, Mahomes tried to play every single day of his life, right? Without any recovery, he wouldn't be going for a three-peat. Which I just found out from David, we can't say that, or Pat Riley gets paid. We got to say Chief Pete. It's a Chief Pete. So I don't want to hey, Pat, if you're listening, I'm not sending no money. I'm just telling you. But he couldn't do what it is he did if he didn't chill out and rest, right? You know, and it's the same with us. We have to pause. We have to recharge in Christ to fulfill our calling effectively. Andrew Bonner once said, and I quote, "The Sabbath is a link between the paradise which has passed away and the paradise that's yet to come," end quote. Beautiful quote. Think about it. And lastly, the Sabbath as worship and renewal. In Mark chapter 2, verses 27, and I quote, "The Sabbath was made for humans, and humans, not humans, for the Sabbath." You know, the Sabbath was made for us. For a lot of reasons, as we've already listened up. God designed the Sabbath as a gift. It's not a burden, but yet we can make it that. I got stuff to do. And from the beginning, God established rest as an essential part of not only creation, but setting aside the seventh day as holy and modeling a rhythm of work, right, and renewal. It's all through Scripture, from the beginning to end. Genesis chapter 2, verses 2 through 3. God never intended for the Sabbath to be a rigid rule, right, and weigh people down, which is what the Pharisees did. Why are you healing people on the Sabbath, Jesus? You know, remember those stories? And Jesus would push back and go, "What are you talking about? You guys don't even understand what you're talking about. That's not what the Sabbath means." You know, all through it, he spoke against it. It's not what we're talking about. Instead, God invites us to step away from striving and embrace divine provision, peace, and presence in our life. Divine sustainment, not money, right? Not recognition, not job well done, good and faithful servant, but just divine. When God commanded Israel to observe the Sabbath, he did so out of love, not legalism. So when God's telling you, hey, you need to slow down, you need to chill out a little bit each day, but also each week. You need to chill out. It's not legalism. After slavery in Egypt, where relentless labor defined their existence, the Israelites needed to learn a new way of living. They had to learn all over again, one rooted in trust rather than toil, right? And it's important. God called them to rest, not as a test of obedience, but as a declaration of freedom. You're free now. Live like it. You're free from the freedom of bondage. He provided manna in the wilderness, and he asserted that they, even when they ceased to work, would be taken care of. In Exodus 16, 29 through 30, teaching them that true provision comes from reliance on God, not ceaseless effort, not just constantly going 100 miles per hour. And Jesus reinforced this truth when he said, again, that the Sabbath was made for humans, not humans for the Sabbath. He rejected, and really important, the burdensome rules imposed by religious leaders and restored the Sabbath's true purpose. This is what Jesus did. To refresh, restore, and realign our hearts with God. Because the world can suck you dry, let's be real. Life's hard, life's challenging, life on life's terms can wear you out. But being restored is important. Jesus, the Lord of the Sabbath, invites us to embrace rest as an act of faith. Do you do that? Trusting that God sustains even when we pause from our labor. Even when we just put the saw down and the ladder down, and I'm just going to go chill out today. Do we trust that? Or we're going to lose. If I don't do it, somebody else is going to get the business. If I don't do it, somebody else is going to. So what? If that's the case. When we receive the Sabbath as a gift, we find not only physical rest, but also spiritual renewal, drawing closer to the one who created us, created rest for good. Rest is your friend. It is. So set aside some intentional time to worship, reflect, and renew. And that's on you. You have to be that disciplined. And if you don't have anything going of any real connection, then start with 5 minutes. Start with 5 minutes and build from that. But just start somewhere. Engage in activities that bring spiritual and physical restoration. So rest, get a sleep monkey chair if you don't have one. I guarantee it'll work. And use the tools out there to grow spiritually. Kendrick Lamar will be doing a halftime show. I guarantee he warms up his voice before he starts. I guarantee there's a huge practice before he ever goes out on that stage at halftime to do all what they're going to do today, right? He has to. And our souls require the same thing. Our souls need a tune-up, our mind, our will, and our emotions. They require time in God's presence to function at their best. And last quote of the day from one of my favorite theologians, Tim Keller, he said this, and I love it. He said, if you observe the Sabbath, you are living for a higher joy, end quote. If you enjoy the Sabbath. Powerful quote. So practical steps for doing all this. Number one, set boundaries. This is the hard part if you have none right now. To set boundaries for yourself. I'm not doing this on this time. And it doesn't necessarily have to be the same time every week. But it's like I'm carving out time this week, looking at my calendar, I ain't doing nothing. I'm chilling out. Whatever that looks like. Protect the Sabbath time by avoiding unnecessary distractions. Engage in worship. Spend time in scripture, prayer, and praise, and come to church. I know everything pulls you 100 miles per hour, but you need it. Unplug, and we need you. You know, everybody, we need each other. Unplug and recharge. Disconnect from work. Put down the phone. Hard to do because it's like it's Velcroed to your hand, right? Digital distractions to focus on God and loved ones. And lastly, reflect and rejoice. Use the Sabbath to celebrate God's goodness and reflect on His faithfulness. So in conclusion, I'll invite the band back up as I'm wrapping up here. God designed the Sabbath as an essential part of worship, period. And when we embrace the Sabbath, we acknowledge that He is in control and we are dependent on Him. We're dependent on His strength. And Jesus calls us to step away from relentless driving and enter into serenity, enter into peace with God. So wherever you're at, I encourage you to commit today to honoring God through rest. Every one of us, myself included. Choose to trust Him, find renewal in Christ, worship Him by embracing the Sabbath as a sacred gift. Because that's what it is. Amen? Let me pray for us. Jesus, our source of rest and renewal, we come before You with grateful hearts. You invite us to lay down our burdens and embrace the peace only You can give. Forgive us for striving when You call us to stillness. for chasing productivity when you offer us purpose. Teach us to trust in your provision, to set aside our work, and to worship you fully and rest. Lord, help us to embrace the Sabbath as an act of faith, knowing that we are not defined by what we accomplish, but by your grace and love. May we walk in the rhythm of rest you have designed, living lives that reflect your peace. Strengthen us to be faithful stewards of our time, our bodies, and our souls. We give you our hearts, our work, and our rest, trusting in your perfect provision. In your holy name, we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Hi again, this is Harold. Thanks for listening to our weekly message and podcast. I hope we have shared something helpful to you wherever you are in your spiritual journey. Just so you know more about us, we are Transformation Church. We are a church for people who aren't in the church. We are a Jesus-centered community made up of everyday people just like you. We refer to ourselves as Transformers, committed to helping God change the world. We meet on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. at our House Springs campus. We are moving and launching a new campus soon in Eureka, Missouri, scheduled to launch on April 6, 2025. And we would love for you to join us and be a part of this Jesus revolution. We also meet during the week in smaller groups called house churches, and that's how we make it relational. We regularly hear from people from all over who are engaging in personal and group studies based on our teaching, and we would love to know if that is happening where you are. If you want to connect with us, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Pinterest, Instagram, Vimeo, YouTube, and TikTok. You can also download our app for free and for fun from your favorite app store. You can find the download link in the show notes or on our website at www.transformerforlife.org. That's www.transformer4life.org. Inside our app or on our website, you can access all our available audio and video teachings and view and download our bulletin, sermon notes, slides, and discussion questions. It's all there for you. Lastly, if you want to learn more about supporting Transformation Church with your time, talent, and finances, and what it takes to become a transformer, please visit our website. God loves generous people, and so do we. So a gift of any amount of your time, talent, and finances is much appreciated. Hey, thanks for being a member of our extended Jesus-centered community. I'm glad we are on this journey together, walking shoulder to shoulder, helping people experience a Jesus-centered life, and discovering the kingdom of God.